This recording, Scotland 16, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who'd been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Edinburgh. I then went and studied at Cambridge, when I was 18. But I lived in Edinburgh all my life after being born there. I come from quite a kind of middle class part of Edinburgh, so I think in Edinburgh people maybe speak in a slightly more anglicised way than they do in the rest of Scotland. I have a couple of times played parts where I've played people from the Highlands, and I wonder if I've maybe kept that slightly in my accent, which makes it kind of a bit more lilting than it might otherwise be. I had a trumpet teacher that I really admired when I was about 10, and she was from, I don't know where she was from, but she said now, now, instead of now, and I think I've maybe kept a bit of that in my accent as well, for no real good reason. And then, I went to Cambridge. I think probably whilst I was at Cambridge, I anglicised my accent further, and then moved to London. And I think since I've come to London, I've actually probably returned to something which is more like my original accent, again, for no very good reason. But my boyfriend is from London, so I imagine that my accent changes around when I'm with him, so that I maybe have a bit more kind of it's not as sort of soft, and I'm just blithering now, I really don't know what I'm saying. Okay, my parents were from Stirling and my grandparents were from Stirling, but I think my parents both have basically Edinburgh accents now, whatever that really means.